Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
I invite you to be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our day this week and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to apologize to the younger kids that were up there. You didn't receive a Bible because you are not in third grade, but we want you to know that you are loved by God, too, and that one day when you're in third grade, we will gift you a Bible. And if you need a Bible to read in the meantime, come see Pastor Alexis and I'll help you out, okay? All right. Some of you may be familiar with the movie Chocolat, in which a small French town has been kept clean by the Comte de Renault and his family from the time the first Comte ran off the Huguenots. He is controlling to the point of even writing the priest's sermons. He is thorough, especially in observing Lent. His control of the town is turned upside down when Vivian, a chocolatier, and her daughter come to town and open a chocolate shop during Lent, which magically feeds the needs of those who eat it. The Comte is alarmed and on a mission to stop her. Shortly, some river rats come along, and a battle between clean and unclean forces ensues. Over time, it becomes obvious that those who are unclean are living out a life of goodness. The young priest Pierre Henry's Easter sermon is summarized like this. I want to talk about Christ's humanity. I mean how he lived his life on earth. His kindness, his tolerance. We must measure our goodness not by what we don't do, what we deny ourselves, what we resist, or who we exclude. Instead, we should measure ourselves by what we embrace, what we create, and who we include. From today's gospel reading, do we, like Jesus, go to the margins of society and off-limit regions and have mercy on the 10 lepers that beg Jesus for mercy? Or do we set up walls around who can be embraced by the love of God in baptism and who can gather here for worship based on laws that label people clean or unclean? The gospel writer of Luke tells us that Jesus was on the last part of his journey from Galilee, set to go to the cross in Jerusalem when he came upon the region between Galilee and Samaria. Geographically, it is a little inaccurate, but Jesus must have come across some Samaritans whom the Jews saw as their enemy. A quick history lesson about the region of Samaria along with Galilee to the north is that it had once comprised the northern Israelite tribes who separated from Judah in the 10th century BCE in order to establish a rival monarchy. These northern tribes were then conquered by the Assyrian Empire 2 centuries later, bringing distant Mesopotamian peoples into the region, resulting in centuries of intermarriage. From a Judean perspective, there was an ethnic compromise of the already alienated branches of Jacob's family tree. As time went on, Samaritans developed their own religious traditions, emphasizing devotion to Torah and worship at a temple on Mount Gerizim near Shechem. Fast forward to the 2nd century BCE, much of Galilee converted to Judaism, which recognized the Jerusalem temple as the proper place of worship. This isolated the middle region of Samaria, which sat between two Jerusalem-affiliated populations. In 128 BCE, the rivalry turned very violent when the Judeans destroyed the Samaritan sanctuary of Mount Gerizim. In Jesus' time on earth, due to ongoing tensions, Galileans often went around Samaria, adding time on their journey to get to Jerusalem. There is more mention of Samaria and the Samaritans in the Gospel writer of Luke and the book of Acts, together a two-volume work, than in the other Gospels. Using the references to the Samaritans, Luke paints a picture of the universal significance of Jesus' mission. While the Gospel of Luke foreshadows the salvation of the Gentiles, the book of Acts narrates it. When the risen Jesus commissions the apostles, he seems to envision Samaria as a kind of threshold between the Jewish homeland and worldwide ministry. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. New Testament professor Ira Driggers at Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary, whose specialty is the Gospels, concludes, "What the history also makes clear, however, is that Jews could also consider Samaritans enemies." To appreciate this point, we must clarify that Jews did not consider Gentiles to be enemies by definition. The Persian king Cyrus, for example, was heralded as God's anointed because he allowed the return of Jewish exiles. Luke himself provides us with one Roman centurion who built a synagogue for Jews in Capernaum, and another who fears God and regularly gives alms. In the case of Samaritans, we find a centuries-old confluence of non-Jew and enemy. The shared ancestry and overlapping religious beliefs did not engender harmony, but rather inflamed animosity. As today's feuding Christians can readily attest, it is sometimes hardest to accept those whose intense disagreements with us conceal a much broader foundation of shared beliefs. This is precisely the challenge presented by the parable of the Good Samaritan, which identifies the nearby Samaritan enemy as the neighbor whom Jesus' Jewish hearers are called to love. But the Good Samaritan is not only the object of neighborly love, he is also, perhaps more importantly, the exemplary subject of neighborly love. Thus, we find a narrative development in Luke from love your enemy to love your worst enemy, to see your worst enemy no longer as enemy, but as an agent of God's love. Luke is building a case for indiscriminate love and radical inclusion. Significantly, the Samaritan leper mirrors the Good Samaritan as a loving subject, but with this crucial difference. While the Good Samaritan is the subject of neighborly love, the Samaritan with leprosy is the subject of godly love. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. In the Bible, the disease of leprosy was a skin disorder of unknown nature, and a lot of skin conditions fell under this disorder. Matthew tells of a single person with leprosy coming to Jesus and saying, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." The Samaritans were not only enemies of the Jews, but also outcasts, and the people with leprosy even more so. According to the Leviticus law, they were considered ritually unclean and declared so by the priests. So they could not come to the temple, the place where it was believed that God was present. It was thought that the disease of leprosy was contagious by touch, and they believed they were possessed by evil spirits. In order to be welcomed or restored back to society, a person with leprosy needed certification from the priests that they were free of the disease. The 10 with leprosy all acknowledged Jesus as master and had faith and asked Jesus to have mercy on them, and he did. He sent them to the priest to be certified clean, and on their way they were made well and would be welcomed back into the temple and restored to the presence of God and their community. However, only one, the foreigner, the Samaritan, returned prostrating himself at Jesus' feet, thanking him, to which Jesus replied, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." As we gather and think about this story, don't we all have areas that we would consider unclean? Yet we see the worst in our enemy, and rather than facing our own stuff, we focus on that of our enemy. Center Crook comments, "The movie Chocolat presents a wonderful opportunity to talk about the nature of evil, the goodness of creation, and the reality that nothing human is alien to us. Just as is true of the biblical story, something of every character lives inside each of us. The people whom we like the least can function as sacraments to invite us to look at those aspects of ourselves which we dislike, or of which we are ashamed, and which we therefore project onto others in order to avoid meeting them in ourselves, and therefore cutting ourselves off from the possibility of opening them to God's love, which accepts all of us, not just the good parts, and allowing it to heal and transform us so that we may live life from our true center, which is love, and which is the only power more powerful than the power in the reality of evil." Friends, let us then not only look at our own stuff and give it to Jesus, trusting that he has washed us clean and forgiven our sin in the waters of baptism and raised us to new life to love our neighbor as ourselves and to love God with every part of our being. And may we also, out of Jesus' love, be sent from worship because our faith has made us well to love and to embrace and welcome those to worship whom we tend to cast out and avoid, trusting the power of Jesus' love and grace is greater than the reality of evil, in that the goodness we have from Jesus enables us to co-create a welcoming community of faith. And on account of Jesus Christ crucified and risen, bear witness to a hurting and broken world. So help us, God. Amen.